Happy Friday, everybody. I am your guest host, Christina Long, here on the desk while Matt Jones is up in Lawrence getting ready for game day at the Lawrence Regional. We'll have him on the show joining us later to talk a little bit about the weekend ahead for Arkansas baseball. First, we have Ethan Westerman joining us from Oklahoma City, who got, what is that, maybe 5 hours of sleep, maybe 4.5 last night after the very long softball game. We will talk about everything that happened last night while some of you were probably sleeping and everything that could be ahead for Arkansas softball. Before we get started, we want to thank our friends at Eggland's Best. When it comes to game day, you want the best in your lineup, and that includes your eggs. Eggland's Best delivers more of the nutrition you need with 6 times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Score now with Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. You can visit egglandsbest.com for more information. We also want to thank our friends at Bentonville Glass, who've been serving their community since 1971, and they are committed, professional, and versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, you can look no further than Bentonville Glass for all of your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Visit them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or at bentonvilleglass.com. Ethan, how are we feeling? How long ago did you wake up? We're recording this at about 9 a.m. on Friday.
Yeah. This was one of those deals where whenever I saw like what time I was going to bed, I was like, we're going to set an alarm 15 minutes before this podcast because I just need to get as much sleep as possible. So for the folks watching this and they see this video, this was very much a slap the whole hog sports hat on and get situated type of podcast deal because, I mean, it was a late night there. It was in pure Oklahoma fashion. As soon as we get done kind of getting to a nice little stopping point with everything that goes on with covering a game, the skies open up at like 1:50 a.m. I think, and so it's just pouring, and I'm like, I'm not walking in my car in this, so waited for it to pass, and then finally got to the hotel, showered, still needed to get some more stuff done, and here I am now. That's a little recap of my past. I guess that's now like 5 or 6 hours.
Tonight's game, because they have to play again late tonight after they lost last night to Nebraska. Do they, or how is the rain situation looking? Are the games going to get pushed back at all today, you think? Like, will they be starting even later than 8:30?
That's funny you bring that up. Like, I haven't even had, like, I was so locked into that game yesterday. I'm like, it's like, oh, wow, there's a game today. Yep. I knew there is, but I think that the rain chances are kind of, there's some rain this morning, but I think it's supposed to kind of like taper out here soon. So hopefully we'll be on schedule. If it is not, if it goes any later than last night's game, I might just lose my mind.
According to weather.com, you're right. Only rain this morning. I just looked it up.
Well, last night's little episode was just an example of things can just change in a hurry in Oklahoma. You never know when the storm will just pop out of nowhere. But they're going to be a similar situation tonight with playing a big game at night, trying to keep your season alive.
So before we get into last night's game and then also tonight's game, just overall, I was interested. I was kind of annoyed watching and I'm not usually somebody that cares about stuff like this or notices even, but I felt like during the broadcast, it was such a Nebraska love fest like the whole time, which, I mean, yeah. ESPN does a really good job putting this event on. It's one of their better events, but in terms of commentary and focus, it was really kind of bothering me. And they kept talking, like, leading up to the game. I was watching the game before, and leading up to it, they were like, Nebraska fans are going to travel so well to see the Huskers for the first time in 13 years, whatever it is. And I was like, and they were like, and Arkansas is here for the first time also. And I was like, do you not think there's going to be a lot of Arkansas fans there? So I'm really curious. I know you said it was a little hard to tell in the press box because I think it's closed. But how did Arkansas fans travel, and what was the atmosphere like for Arkansas's first game at the Women's College World Series?
Yeah, well, I was there for the opening sessions, and I could tell just from that Arkansas was going to have quite a few fans, because if you already have a lot there for, a 1 or 2 p.m. game and you don't play till that night, I'm like, oh, there's probably a lot more on the road right now. And that was the case. I mean, I kind of walked around for a little bit before the game just to get a little bit of a feel, and definitely I would say there were more Arkansas fans than any other team there last night. I'm not sure I have, like, an exact split of what I think it was, but it was certainly – I think a predominant Arkansas crowd. Nebraska did travel well too, but it was way more hog calls. I feel like whenever something big happened, then I guess they say go Big Red. It's hard to tell in a closed press box what's going on, but I could at least see with my eyes that things were going on. They were kind of across from each other, which was cool. But Yeah, no, Arkansas fans traveled well, and I heard similar comments. Like, I was getting so many texts of like, this is just a Nebraska, PR machine going on right now. But a lot of people, I think, were upset that Jordy Fromm is a phenomenal player. I mean, she's on probably just all-time college careers, a Mount Rushmore of college softball players. She's that good. But I did hear from a lot of people that it was like pretty much, the entire broadcast was just
It
her. It
was a
was like,
lot.
does anybody else even on your own team exist?
It was a lot,
And
yeah.
so, and I get it. Whenever there's a big time player, you got it, and it's a big time game. Like, there's going to be a lot more attention on them. You kind of like every at bat, every pitch kind of is a little bit of, I guess, its own, thing to hype up maybe. But like, it sounds like they did it overkill. Like, I think, in those situations, maybe you pick the right moments to do that. But it sounded to me from people I talked to that it was kind of the entire game.
I felt like in the lead up to the game too, it felt like there was so much focus on Nebraska, and then it felt like they were treating Arkansas as like one of these teams that's just happy to be here. And I was like, when are we going to talk about the fact that they run ruled their way here? Like, and they did finally mention it while they were, right before first pitch, when they kind of do their little package on how each team got there, and they finally mentioned it, and we were like, I feel like that's pretty notable. They're not just like some team that like happened to sneak through and isn't like a big underdog. Like, I'm really confused. But anyway, as far as the game itself, Arkansas loses 5-3 in 10 innings, an extra inning baseball game. How are you looking at last night's game? Were you surprised by the loss? Were you surprised? I was just surprised by the continued sort of momentum back and forth. Like, was there a point that you started to feel like Arkansas wasn't going to be able to pull it out? Because I felt that way multiple times, and then the game kept staying tied or whatever.
I think every time it went to the bottom of an inning, it just felt like as the game went on, it was one of those games that you wanted to be the last one at the plate to maybe be able to have the final word. I would say momentum was fully in Arkansas's favor midway, or not midway through, just after Jordy Fromm got the first out of the eighth inning, because she's the one that, like, if you just look at their offense, it's like, okay, she's the real threat to, she's been on that stage. She could come up with a big hit. She could tie it up. And then it's right behind her, Hannah Kaur, who hits the solo home run against Peyton Burnham on a pitch that Courtney Dyfel said is going to haunt her. She said Peyton Burnham executed that pitch. That was Courtney Dyfel's call on the pitch call. It was just a bad pitch call, is what she said. And Hannah Kaur took it out of the ballpark. And that was whenever it felt like, oh man, Nebraska had every opportunity right here to fold, and they didn't. And it's also interesting, Hannah Kaur is a transfer from Oklahoma, and we all know that Oklahoma and that stadium, they call it Sooner Magic. They come up with just crazy hits that you can't explain other than it's Oklahoma. And it's just kind of funny that a person who's been on those teams and seen Sooner Magic had kind of her own moment. But yeah, I never felt like Arkansas was quite out of it. It just felt like every time they didn't score in the top of an inning, which, in a tight game, it's going to feel like that. It's like, all right, Nebraska has a chance to walk it off. I think maybe the most tense moment of that entire game was whenever Arkansas decided to intentionally walk someone to put runners on the corners with two outs to get to Casey
To bring up
Hoffman,
Hoffman,
who is a former Razorback who was on that 2022 team that lost to Texas, or beat Texas in game one and lost two more in a row. She was the right fielder on that team. It's like, that is a bold move because you were setting the storyline right now
I
to get
know.
walked off by a former player. But it worked out. It was a good call. So, it's one of those things where you look at the grand scheme of the game, Courtney Dyfel takes the blame for that one pitch call. Should probably take blame for some other things happening in that game. It's like, you win some, you lose some, as far as good coaching decisions you make in a game. And that was just the type of razor thin margin game that it felt like who was going to make that maybe mistake. And it just so happened to be Arkansas, maybe a pitch call here and there.
I want to talk about tonight's game, and then also if they were to win, what the rest of kind of the weekend, what the rest of this stage of the Women's College World Series is going to look like if they were to beat UCLA tonight. But starting with UCLA, what do we need to know about them? They played a really exciting game against Alabama last night, the game right before Arkansas did. They lost 6-3. But what are you expecting out of this matchup? How do you feel about Arkansas versus UCLA, and who do you kind of favor there?
Yeah, I was told somebody this before I left the press box last night. This gives me the vibe of a game that one team is going to win by a lot. Like last night going into Nebraska, I kind of felt like it was going to be, you looked at the teams on paper, I was like, this is going to be a close game one way or the other. I didn't know it would be that close. But I knew it would be a close game. Arkansas, UCLA, maybe it could get into a really exciting game, but it's just UCLA. I think they have the, they have the NCAA single season home runs record. They have some big boppers in the lineup with Jordan Woolery, Megan Grant, who is the single season all time home runs leader. She hit one against Alabama yesterday. She has 41 on the year now. And then Arkansas, I mean, that's just a brutal turnaround to get done with a really late game at night. And it's like, oh, by the way, tomorrow I'll get ready to pitch against this UCLA lineup that can put up a lot of runs. But here's the good thing for Arkansas. UCLA's pitching numbers out of every team at the Women's College World Series are kind of the lower, the higher ERAs. And Taylor Tinsley, who's their just go-to arm, I think they're going to probably throw her till her arm falls off. She pitched the Alabama game. Wouldn't be surprised to see her against Arkansas. So I think it's one of those that Arkansas would really benefit from attacking aggressively early, getting a big lead. But UCLA is never out of a game, is the thing. It gives me the vibe of a game that either Arkansas is going to pitch well and UCLA is going to be taking their hacks and just, you know, be maybe too aggressive and Arkansas can really capitalize on their pitching, or it's going to be a game that maybe UCLA puts up a crooked number early and it's hard for Arkansas to shake off last night. So yeah, it's, if Arkansas was to win that game, it would move them into it. So basically for our listeners, think about this as how you view a regional. Arkansas, there's at the Women's College World Series, basically two regionals. There's two brackets on each side and they meet for another super regional for the championship with the best of three series. And so if Arkansas was to win this, basically view this as if Arkansas lost its opening game of a home regional, you get in that terrible situation of needing to win like four in a row.
Yep.
A really tall task. It would take Arkansas, if they were to beat UCLA, they'd turn around and play again on Sunday against the loser of Alabama and Nebraska.
Yeah.
Let's say they were to beat the loser of Alabama, Nebraska, then they would have to beat the winner of Alabama, Nebraska twice in a day. So
the elimination tournaments, man, they're really hard.
Yeah, those are really, that's what's so brutal about it is that for Arkansas, losing that first game is kind of, I think anybody will say in a regional and in a regional, the first day and the second day, those games are just critically important. If you can get 2-0 in one of those, you're just sitting in such a good position. Mm-hmm. Because then you'd have to be beat twice in a row. Now Arkansas needs to win 4 in a row if it wants to keep its season alive to a championship series. You know, crazy things have happened. It would be 4 in a row because they'd need to avoid elimination tonight, then beat the loser
Alabama. Yes. I was looking at the empty boxes, yeah. And there is famously a box with teams in it that is a game yet to be played. Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, you have to win 4 in a row. And yeah, it's just a hard form. It always has been. It's why the baseball and softball tournaments are some of the hardest that there are. And I think, you know, either way, either matchup, if they get past UCLA tonight, either Nebraska or Alabama is going to be tough. I mean, I guess, would you rather see Nebraska a second time than have to see Alabama in that next elimination game if you were to win tonight?
It's like at this point of the season, I'd say this like in probably most tournaments, it's like you get to a point where you're like, does it matter too much? Everybody's really good. It's like Alabama, you've played them multiple times. You faced Nebraska very recent. You've seen Jordy Fromm, you know what it's like to face her pitching, but they've also really struggled against Alabama and Jocelyn Brisky, who's the SEC pitcher of the year. They really struggled against her three times this year. So I don't know. I think that you've got to, if you're Arkansas, you just view this as who is on the other side, take off the name of the jersey and just play your best, because everybody's like, but in all of these scenarios, you're facing an elite arm, Brisky or Fromm. So I think you just kind of go at it with, who cares? Just got to go play your game. But yeah, it's a tough spot to be in whenever you lose your first game, knowing that you have to win four in a row. Crazier things have happened. And this team has, a lot of times this year, I think after a loss, granted, it's varying levels of like how difficult the next few games are, like who the opponent is, but there's been multiple times this year that they've lost a game and turned around and won five or six in a row. I don't know how many times that they've lost one and then lost within the next four games, but they've bounced back every time from a loss this year. They've not lost consecutive games. So that, I think, bodes well for them in the sense that you just know that they haven't had much carryover effect. Granted, this is the largest obstacle of that they face this year. It's a lot harder to not have a carryover effect when it happens on the biggest stage and you're right there and it finishes way past your bedtime.
Yeah, it was crazy,
So,
and I wasn't even up half as late as you were.
yeah.
I want to mention before we let you go what's going on the other side of the bracket. So Texas Tech beat Mississippi State. Mississippi State that eliminated Oklahoma. They're the reason Oklahoma is not in this bracket. Tennessee beat Texas. So Texas Tech and Tennessee play today at 2, and then Mississippi State and Texas play in that elimination game on the other side of the bracket at 6 tonight. And then Arkansas is the late game again. Like we said, it's 8:30 again. So Ethan gets another late night. Hopefully that one doesn't go 10 innings this time and you
I
can get out
will.
of there at a respectable hour.
Yeah, I must say I will lose my mind if we get another. I mean, I'm happy that I got like for Arkansas's first game ever in the World Series. It was a classic. Like that was. There's no other way to put it. That was like an epic game. It was the closest I've ever been to like. It felt like the same vibes I get of a close like SEC football game. Let's go back and forth. Like it felt like just a big moment, and you could feel it in the stadium. It also felt like. I hate to make this comparison, but as the game wore on, and like the teams, I was like, this feels like I've seen this episode with Arkansas football so many times where I'm like, okay, you're in a close game, and you're like, who's gonna have the ball last?
Yeah, and well, and I saw a
It's.
lot of people commenting, like a lot of people saying stuff like that about, like, oh my God, of course, like this is so Arkansas, of course this is how it's happening.
Yeah, it's a lot different than the fact that I mean, honestly, hats like for Arkansas to go and face Jordy Fromm in its first ever game, they were ready for the moment. Like, I
Yeah.
mean, that was there's no they left no doubt that they deserve to be there, and that's I think whenever you face a pitcher like her, there's just honestly an intimidation factor. I'm trying to come up with like a comp for like who this would be like facing in football. I maybe like
It's different,
who's
but
yeah, it's like. It's a face that like you know is going to go down as one, maybe like a Tim Tebow. Actually, that's a great comparison, just the personalities of those two. I'm not
honestly,
maybe,
probably true.
but it's like somebody who you like is no matter what going to go down is just like this is one of the college greats. And oh, by the way, you're facing them in the biggest crowd you've ever faced in your life.
And
And Arkansas was
everyone is
ready
going to
for
talk about them the entire time that you're playing.
it.
It's going to be all that gets
Exactly.
talked about.
And it's like for Arkansas to step up and show that they did belong on that stage is kind of like a, there's no moral wins here, but like at the same time, it is like a, you're glad that they didn't go on that big stage and just look like they were just happy to be there or something. I think maybe that happened in the early game with Mississippi State, Texas Tech, where Mississippi State just it's too big for them, I think. And maybe you'll be curious. I'll be curious to see these two teams that were first timers with Arkansas and Mississippi State, how they maybe respond today if they look a little more, bit more just like settled in, to play their ball. I thought Arkansas looked settled in though. That's the thing. They looked like they were ready for it, and for to face Jordy, and I think they ended up with 8 hits, 3 runs, 8 hits. Her ERA was 1.14 going into the game, so they performed better against her than most people do. It's just it's so hard. As a game wears on against a team like that, whenever you're not batting last, just to, you just have to hold on. And it's like Arkansas didn't get enough of the, they got the Ella McDowell clutch RBI hit. They got Kaylee Wyckoff's clutch home run, but they just didn't get the timely hit enough last night to where it just, yeah, it was going to come down to who came up with it in Nebraska getting the last at bat. It felt, like I said, like an, like so many Arkansas football games I've watched where in the fourth quarter you're like oh boy they're gonna have the ball last, or there's also a lot of times that Arkansas's had the ball supposed to have it last and they make a mistake, but it wasn't that. It was just Nebraska honestly coming up with just the huge swing with Ava Cusack to walk it off.
Ethan, thanks so much for waking up for us. Please go back to bed. Please get some more sleep before another late night. When we come back,
Oh,
Matt
you can't
Jones
see it.
will. Sorry, what did you say?
You can't see it. I was showing my glazed honey bun that I have here from the hotel lobby that's gonna power me today.
It's
So,
perfect. It's perfect. When we come back, Matt Jones is going to join us to talk a little bit about the Lawrence Regional going on tonight with baseball. Matt Jones joins us now from beautiful Topeka, Kansas, outside of Lawrence there, getting ready for Arkansas's game tonight against Missouri State. Is it currently raining, Matt?
Let's see here. Through my blind end of the window, I would say possibly. I don't know. It's been raining a lot here, and it's supposed to rain a lot this weekend too.
Yeah, I liked your lead in your story on WholeHogSports.com yesterday about Arkansas and Missouri State players coming in for media from practice wearing different shades of red because they were
Yeah.
absolutely drenched.
Well, you know what? Tom Murphy's fault that I said that. Tom is here too, and when Arkansas came in, they were visibly soaked. I mean, like just totally drenched. Van Horn and the players, I think their arms were still wet sitting at the table. And then Missouri or so. And after the press conference was over, Tom asked Joey Hawkins, he said, "Is it still raining out there?" And I said, "Tom, look at their hats." I said, "Like, that's not their school color." And I mean, you could really see it, how soaked they were. But yeah, it was a weird day yesterday. Kansas, they went first practicing, and they got most of their workout in before it really started coming down. It was kind of a light rain once they finished up, and then right about the time Arkansas took the field, I mean, it just totally let loose, and it never stopped all day here yesterday. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a break this afternoon where they can play without rain, but the rest of the weekend, and even if there's one delay today or a game goes into extra innings and maybe a game goes late into the night or something, the weather might be something to watch. But I think they're going to be dodging weather all weekend here, it looks like, and I guess that's really not too surprising this time of year, this part of the country.
You and I were talking on the phone yesterday about how the pitching plans that really everybody is going with are a little bit interesting and maybe not what you would expect. So what do we need to know about Missouri State and their plan for tonight? And then also on the other side about Kansas.
Yeah, so let's start with Kansas Northeastern because they're going to play first today. Kansas is going to throw Dominic Vegely, who's their number one guy, who, he hadn't had a great season, but coming into the year, he was thought to be a pretty good draft prospect. And I'm sure he still is, I mean, the pro scouts, they look at a lot more than just college stats. So Dominic Vegely is going to throw for them. I was a little surprised by that. I thought that KU might pitch off against Northeastern. Northeastern's going to throw their guy, right-hander senior named Luke Rising. He'll start for them in this game. And then this afternoon, I'm not surprised really by what Arkansas's doing, throwing Gabe Gackel instead of Hunter Dietz. I think they want to give Dietz as much time as they can to rest that leg. And I mean, Gackel, his season's been what it is, but he also, he was their number one starter at the start of the season, and the stats don't back that up, but it shows you the kind of trust that they have in him, that they helped out, or that they had him in that number one role, I think, all season, or for a good bit of the season. And then obviously they moved him to the bullpen, they moved him back to a starting position. And Dave Van Horn said yesterday, he said, "I've got confidence in Gabe Gackel as a starter, a reliever, a closer, whatever you need him to do." So he'll throw today. Hunter Dietz will be safe for tomorrow. And Saturday games are extremely important. It doesn't matter if you win on Friday or you lose on Friday. I mean, you play on Saturday, it's an elimination game if you lose on Friday, or if you win, it's that pivotal 1-0 game. And I say this all the time, I think the Saturday 1-0 game is the most important game of the postseason. And people say, "Well, that's crazy. You still got Super Regionals and College World Series." There's nothing like that Saturday game in terms of what you face if you lose it versus, the road if you win it. Because even in Omaha, if you lose a game and you fall into the losers bracket, pardon me, you still have days off. You don't have days off here at a regional. You fall into a loser's bracket on Saturday, you could be playing three games in 2 days. And the toll that that takes on your pitching staff, there's just nothing else like it during the postseason. So, they're going to have Dietz going for their Saturday game, whatever position they fall into. Missouri State today, they're going to throw Max Knight, who's a left-hander. He's a really good two-way player. They've got a couple of good two-way players at Missouri State, Knight and Curry Sutherland, who's their third baseman. He also pitches for them. Both of them are on the John Olerud semifinalist list for the best two-way player in the country. But Knight, I was a little surprised that Missouri State's throwing him because he didn't pitch great against Arkansas either time that they played this year. He threw, I think, 2 1/3 innings up in Springfield. He started that game, but he walked five batters, and I think three or four runs scored against him that day. And then, he was part of that pitching plan that they had in Fayetteville back on April 21st, and he walked three batters and got one out in that game, gave up a run. So I was a little surprised that they're going to go with Max Knight in this game, but I'm sure they've got their reasons. I'm sure they like, you know, the matchup. Joey Hawkins, whenever I mentioned that Knight had pitched against Arkansas yesterday, he said, you know, we look more at what has happened recently versus what's happened in the past. So it's very interesting for Arkansas. There's a lot of ifs associated with what I'm about to say, but if they win today and if Hunter Dietz pitches, you know, at the level that we think he can, and that leg's not bothering him too bad, it sets up nicely for the Razorbacks after today, but they got to get through this game. And I think it's going to be a really hard game for him against Missouri State.
Yeah, it's a really interesting matchup, both for the kind of the rivalry sort of thing that's built up with Missouri State, and also just the fact that they've played each other already this year, and that it's just a tough game. I mean, that 2-3 game is always, you know, the one with more drama. But I think, you know, especially with the postseason kind of history with Arkansas and Missouri State, it makes it some exciting TV that we're looking forward to. But I think, you know, when you look at it, how much are you looking back at the first two games Arkansas and Missouri State played this year versus how much is it kind of like new season slash those were midweek games, so it's always a little bit different than it would be either in a weekend or here when the stakes are really high in the postseason?
Yeah, I think the answer is yes. I think both of them you look at, especially like lineup wise, you know, Missouri State, what they showed in those two games is they can really swing the bats, and they're a really good offensive team. And yes, that was different pitching they were facing from Arkansas, but there were also still some of the top bullpen arms that Arkansas brought out. I mean, they didn't throw Ethan McIlvain against them, but, you know, I think Parker Coyle threw against them. I think Steele Leaves threw against them. Especially that game up in Springfield, there were a lot of, you know, what I would call frontline relief arms that were used, or multiple used in that game. You know, Arkansas, obviously, you know, I mean, they swung the bat against Missouri State too. The thing, I go back to Max Knight pitching. That's the one that's really interesting to me, the fact that they, you know, he hasn't had success against Arkansas this year. And they decided that they're going to pitch him anyway. Maybe they know something. You know, maybe they like a matchup with a left-hander against something they've seen from Arkansas here of late. Maybe Max Knight's a different pitcher than whenever we saw him on April 21st, and that's, you know, that's possible too. It's been 5 or 6 weeks since that game in Fayetteville, but that's the one that really is interesting to me. It's like, is he due against Arkansas, or is he going to have some of those command problems that he's had? And that's kind of the deal with him, not just against Arkansas. He's got a 1.9 whip this year, which means he's putting almost two base runners on base every inning. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's walking a lot of batters. I think he walked like 8 in 2 and 2 and 3rd innings against Arkansas. So, you know, this is one of those days where Arkansas, they like to be patient at the plate. They like to take some pitches. It'll be interesting to see if that works for him. Number one, if that's their strategy. Number two, if it is, does it work for him or does it backfire on him? Is he pitching more into the zone than he usually does?
I want to look ahead to, you know, in case they end up playing Kansas at all this weekend. Just what kind of how do you think Arkansas and Kansas might match up if they end up facing each other? And, you know, like you said, they're kind of going with the unconventional pitching plan. They're using their top guy against the four, which I feel like, uh-huh, you know, you obviously don't see that often. So do we know anything about who might face Arkansas if they were to play, you know, later down the bracket?
You're putting me on the spot here. They told me who it would be, and I don't have his name in front of me. I do know, just generally speaking about Kansas, what I was told about their pitching staff is that it's kind of a pitch-by-committee type deal where they've got their starters, but they've got more than just three starters they'll go to. So I think it might just come down to feel, matchups, you know, things like that. I think they got a team that can swing the bat. They got three players, I think, who've got 14 or 15 or more home runs this year. And their shortstop, Tyson LeBlanc, is a big draft prospect. He transferred in from LSU Eunice this year. He's got like 21 home runs, 60 RBI, a bunch of doubles. He's hitting almost 340. So, you know, there's a handful of players who are like that in their lineup. It just feels to me like this weekend, you look at the ERAs and you look at the power numbers from these teams and you look at how this ballpark plays. It typically plays kind of hitter friendly. Wind's going to be blowing in from left field real light throughout the weekend from what the forecast says. It just feels like one of those regionals that could be a really high scoring regional. And so who's swinging the bat best? I think you got to like what Arkansas did down in Hoover for a couple of days. Didn't go well the last couple of days, but some of that is they're facing Auburn one of those days, and that's a great, great pitching staff, probably the best in the country, if you ask me. But who's swinging the bat? I think that's going to be the key here. Is you're going to have to score a lot of runs to win these games, and we'll see if Arkansas can win some slugfests. They're in here though with a couple of teams in KU and Missouri State who can really hit the ball over your head, and then Northeastern. I don't think you can sleep on them either because of the way they can kind of create some chaos on the bases. I mean, they've stolen 210 bases in 253 attempts this year. Some of that's probably attributable to the fact they're playing in a conference where pitchers aren't holding runners very well, but I think some of it too probably speaks to the fact that they've got some skill on the bases, and I'm sure they'll like to they'll try to create some chaos against whatever teams they're playing. And it goes back to the rain that we were talking about earlier. This is going to be a really fast surface, I think, with the turf, but it's also going to be a really slick one. It's going to be interesting. Are runners oversliding the bags? Or fielders slipping trying to go get to the ball? These are all things that I think you watch this weekend. Plus, it's a turf mound here. It's not a dirt mound. So like Missouri and Kentucky, where Arkansas played on turf earlier this year, those are dirt mounds and then turf all around it. This is a turf mound, and so you wonder about the footing on the mound a little bit for the pitchers. Of course, you wonder about it on dirt too. But I'm sure these are all things that are going through coaches' heads as they play all the what if games before these games actually kick off.
Arkansas's got the turf mound on the in the indoor facility, right? So it's not like none of them have
But it does
ever.
not rain inside the
That's
Palisade.
true. That's true. You're
So
not
that's,
slipping. It's like, hey, they could like throw some bucket. They could have practiced at some
And bring the Aquafinas out and just soak it down.
Does the I might be putting you on the spot again, but you might know this off the top of your head. You mentioned high scoring last time Arkansas went on the road for a regional, Stillwater Regional, famously very high scoring. Does it still hold the record for highest scoring regional?
Yeah, I think there are 700 home runs hit that weekend, something like that. Yeah, I believe it does. It would be very hard to top that. We're talking, it's really interesting. All three of these teams here, and I'm going to get around to Stillwater in a second by telling this story. All three of these teams have been in a regional with Arkansas in the last 5 years,
Oh,
and
weird.
Arkansas hasn't played any of them in the regional. Northeastern came to Fayetteville in 21. That was with Nebraska and NJIT.
Oh,
Arkansas
yeah.
didn't play Northeastern. In 22, Missouri State was in Stillwater and did not face Arkansas. And then last year, KU came to Fayetteville and they went 0-2 and never played Arkansas as the two seed. And the reason I mentioned that in reference to Stillwater is we were talking to somebody yesterday about Missouri State. And I said, we all thought that Arkansas was going to play Missouri State for the regional title over in Stillwater. I remember on Sunday, I ran into one of Arkansas's coaches at a restaurant in Stillwater because they didn't play until that night, and their hotel was right across the street from where I was eating. And it was 12-0. Missouri State was beating Oklahoma State. And he's like, "Well, I got to go back and get ready for Missouri State." Missouri State ended up losing that game like 29-15. I mean, it was insane. I've never seen anything like it. That was an all-timer game, but that was only 44 of like the. I don't know. Probably, I mean, like seriously, in the upper hundreds of runs that were scored that weekend. I mean, Arkansas and Oklahoma State played like a 18-14 game or something. It was nuts. It was a 20-12. I think that was the final score of that game. It was a crazy, crazy weekend. And I've said this too, Christina. Every time that Arkansas and Missouri State are in a regional together, it just seems like some weird stuff happens. There was that one in 22. There was a 17 regional in Fayetteville where they played till 3 o'clock in the morning. I just would say, be on the lookout for something crazy in this regional, based on the type of teams that are here as far as offensively and pitching, and just the fact that it seems like history tells us that whenever Arkansas and Missouri State get together, the stars kind of align and weird things happen.
After softball last night, I do not need a 3 a.m. baseball game after
What
this.
time did that game end?
I don't remember what time it ended, but I know Ethan Ron earlier said he didn't end up going to bed till like 4. I was up till 1, but that was post press conferences. So I think it ended 11:30 or 12. I don't actually remember. It was all running together, and I just knew it was late.
I think I was hanging in there through the ninth inning, maybe part of the ninth, and then I couldn't do it anymore. I fell asleep.
Yeah,
So I got a text this morning.
I was ready for it to just be done. By the time it was ending, I was like, at least somebody won. At least somebody ended it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the point you get to. Those games are brutal. I've sat through plenty of those before.
Yeah, and hopefully this weekend you don't have any of this, and you don't have any 3 a.m. delay, all of that kind of stuff. But Matt, thanks so much for making time to tell us a little bit about the Lawrence Regional. Looking forward to all of your coverage this weekend at WholeHogSports.com, and thanks everybody for joining us, and have a great weekend.